Happy New Year. I'm saying it now. I'll say it again tomorrow morning, but I'm not saying it at midnight because I am not staying up that late. That's a young man's game. Let's open up our Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. Genesis, Exodus, and then we're also going to take your finger and put it in Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, chapter 5. So you're going to take your fingers and put it in Deuteronomy 5, and we're going to be in Exodus chapter 20, continuing our study in the Ten Commandments. We're on the fourth commandment. We're looking at verse 8. Verse 8 in Exodus chapter 20. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Turn with Deuteronomy chapter 5 again, verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you, so that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. This is the word of the Lord. The Lord blesses the reading of his word. We continue on reliance on him. So we've been looking at the Ten Commandments, and as I've been showing and been arguing that the Ten Commandments has a specific application for the people in its day, but it also has a broader application for all people, where we see how often we fall short of what God required. And then it had some sort of lessons and principles for the Christian. You remember that we, when I used the example of traffic signs, that traffic signs do several jobs, right? When you see the sign that says 25 miles per hour, one thing it does, it tells you, don't go more than 25 miles per hour in this area. Another thing it does is if you break the speed limit and a cop pulls you over and asks you, do you know what you did wrong? And you know that you were going 55 in a 25 miles per hour zone, you know exactly what you did wrong. You know exactly what you did wrong. So it also gives you that sense, like, I've done wrong. But what it also does, the third point that it does, it actually helps those people who don't necessarily need the traffic sign to tell them, hey, you don't want to kill somebody. But it tells you, it gives you a marker. Oh, 25 miles per hour, this must be a residential area. I need to be very careful here. It's not out of fear of breaking the speed limit that I'm driving at 25 miles per hour. It's actually because I'm concerned about my neighbor and I'm concerned about this area with the kids that are around here. So there's different ways that those traffic signs work. And I use that as an analogy to help us what we're doing when we're working through the Ten Commandments. Next week, I'll be preaching again, so you get me 2 weeks in a row. So if you don't persevere today, there are other chapels that you could go to. And that way you don't have to hear me 2 weeks in a row. But you can also, I'll ask you in the end of the message which way you want to go for the next message. I have an idea, but we'll see. But we're here at the Sabbath, all right? We're here at this commandment, the Sabbath day, keeping it holy. And here we are, we're all in church, and it's not the Sabbath. It's not the Sabbath. Today is Sunday. It's not the Sabbath. The Sabbath, if you recall the Jews to whom these commandments were given, the Sabbath is the seventh day of the week. That would be Saturday, yesterday. And it was even a little bit hinkier. It would start Friday night and it would go to Saturday afternoon. So that's the Jewish Sabbath. Why are we looking at the Sabbath, Ray? Well, I mean, like what I said, just like what we're looking at with looking at this law, that we can't say that this is a part of Scripture that we look at and go, doesn't matter, rip it out of your Bible, throw it away. Doesn't work like that. In fact, all of these commandments, they should help us to see those different elements I was talking about, what it means to the rule breaker, but it ultimately points us to Christ and our life in Christ. And then there's some good principles that we get out of it that we can also utilize as Christians. So let's look at it. What we're going to be looking at today when we're looking at these verses, we're going to try to understand, what does the command demand? What's the command saying you have to do? What's the command demand? Who is the command for? So we're going to look at that, right? So we're going to look at, what does the command demand? Who is the command for? And then, what does the command do? What are the principles behind it? What is the command doing? So that way, there's some gospel truth that we get out of this command, and it also enables our own thinking in our day-to-day. So let's first look at what the command demands. All right, verse 8. So you still have Deuteronomy, right? You still have Deuteronomy with your finger in it? Because I didn't. I pulled out my thingy from there, so I'll keep that there. Deuteronomy chapter 5. But look at Exodus 20, verse 8. The first thing this command demands is to remember the Sabbath day. Remember it. Don't forget it. Bring it to your mind. Bring it forward. That's the first thing that it does. It's telling people to remember it. Don't forget it. And if you switch over to Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12, Moses, when he's reiterating the command, remember, Deuteronomy chapter 5, this happens right outside when the children of Israel are about to enter into the promised land. They're outside, they're in the plains of Moab. It's the second generation of people who had come out of Egypt. The first generation were the ones who received Exodus chapter 20. Those people had died out, and here in Deuteronomy chapter 5, it was the second generation. It was the kids. And he does not say remember here in verse 12. Instead, he says observe, watch over, guard, keep, look at it. So you have this command that's telling you to remember and to watch over it. Keep it in front of mind. Keep it to your center. You need to hold on to this thing. That's the first thing that the command is demanding. Remember and look at it. What's interesting is that this now is the first command. Unlike all the other commands, this is the first command that's actually telling people, telling the Israelites, do something. So the other commands were things like, don't have another god. Don't have any gods, any idols. Don't have any graven images, right? Like, remember that? Don't take my name in vain. They were do not, do not, do not. This is the first command that says, do this. Remember this. Watch over this. That's the first thing the command's doing, right? The second thing it says here, go back to Exodus chapter 20. You're remembering it. You're observing the Sabbath to keep it holy. To keep it holy. And it's the same thing that you have in chapter 5, verse 12. It says, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, holy, when we think of holy today, sometimes we think, holy, that means that you keep it religious. You know, you keep it religious. You keep it things about God. But that's not what the word holy means. The word holy actually comes from the word, there's a root word there that has to do with cutting and separating. So what this is saying is, to keep it set apart. Keep this day set apart. So you're taking this day and you're doing something apart from the other days. So they're to remember it, observe it, watch over it, remember it, recall it to mind, and they're to set this day apart. And which day is it? The Sabbath day, because there's no explanation of what this Sabbath day is. It just says the Sabbath, right? So remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. So there, here's the explanation, verse 9. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. So here's the second part that this command demands. Work. It demands and commands that you work. This is the common thing to do. Your regular day-to-day, God is telling the Israelites, is consisting of work. Not lack of work. Work. So you wake up on the first day, you work. The second day, you work. The third day, you work. You see the pattern? The fourth day, you work. 6 days, you shall labor and do all your work. So the Israelites were to then have a pattern of working. They did not have a pattern of laziness. They had a pattern, a regular pattern of working. This isn't a bad thing. Remember, this commandment is not slapping the hand here. What the Lord is actually telling them is this is something good for you. You do this on the regular. You go to work. But then verse 10. So that's the third thing it's doing, right? It's telling us, so observe, remember, right? We're keeping it separate, and you're working. You're working the 6 days. Here's verse 10. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it, you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male or female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. And then in Deuteronomy, we also saw that it included donkeys. For some reason, donkeys had to, people had to be reminded, hey, your donkey's not supposed to do it either. But here we see that then what the Sabbath is, it's the seventh day. Verse 10, the seventh day. It's not the first day. Doesn't say that. It's not the fifth day. It's the seventh day in the series that you're counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The seventh day is this Sabbath day. And this Sabbath, we find out it is a day that you don't do any work. This is going to get interesting here, then, because this is telling all of these people you're not to do any work on this seventh day. Why don't you do this any work on the seventh day? It says here, because this is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Verse 10. It's the Lord God's day. He took this day. It's his day. It's his day of Sabbath. We find out then when it's using that word of resting, of not doing any work, we start finding out what Sabbath means. It means that there's a tie there. It's a rest day. It's a rest day. It's that seventh day meant for rest. So it's commanding, this command is commanding that you're to remember and observe this day. You're to and protect it. You're to treat the day as separate. You're to commonly work. And you're to set this day apart so that you can rest on it and not do any work. It is a day of rest. Who is this command therefore for? Well, here we saw in verse 10, it says, well, actually verse 10, verse 10, you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. Notice it did not say men shall not do any work. It did not say women shall keep working. It didn't say that. It says you shall not do any work. You know what this means? That this command is being directed to both the men and the women. The husband and the wives who are reading this verse are to understand, the men and the women, the single and the married are to understand, I am not to do any work. It's personalized. I don't do this work. This command is for me as an Israelite. I don't do any work. It doesn't matter if I'm a man. It doesn't matter if I'm a woman. I don't do any work. And then he goes on to say, neither you or your son or your daughter. So your sons, your kids, don't do any work. They're not supposed to do any work. And then your servants aren't to do any work. Neither your male or female servant or your cattle, your animals aren't to do any work. Because it might be easy to then say, oh man, you know what? This is a good work day. I mean, there's no rain in the sky. The soil's just about ready. What if I take the cattle and tie it to the plow? And, you know, I'm not really working if I just sort of stay there. And then every now and then with a rope, as the cattle is hitting one part of the field, I just sort of yawn and stretch and pull the cattle so it does another part of the field. And the Lord's like, no time for you to be tricksy. Nobody is doing work, not even the sojourner who stays with you. And the sojourner is just a word that says the visitor, the stranger who's with you in the land. They're not to do any work. So I grew up in New York City. And on the Sabbath, there was this area, this Williamsburg area. So we went to church in Bushwick, tough area. And it's right next to Williamsburg area. And that Williamsburg area had an area that was all filled with Hasidic Jews, very religious, following the Sabbath to the T. And there would be buildings in during the Sabbath that the elevator went from going express, you know, you press a button, it misses all the floors, to going local. It made all the stops, right? But in some buildings, the elevator wouldn't do anything, because they didn't figure out how to make it stop at every floor. So you would have all these Jews living in this area, and sometimes I would visit a friend, because it's an apartment building. It's not like an apartment building just belongs to Jews. It was a mixed people who would be in this building. So this is why they also didn't have it going to every floor, especially if it was very high. And I remember visiting my friend in one of these buildings, and I would go into the elevator. This is when the Sabbath first became real to me. I went into the elevator, and there was these three Jews with the Hasidic Jews with the hat and the curls standing there quietly in the elevator. And the door was open and I stepped in. I didn't know what was going on. And I'm looking around. And the one of them just goes, I'm like, hello. And no, that's not what he was saying. He's like pointing with his nose at the elevator panel, at the buttons. And I go, oh, which floor? 12, please. So then I would pick my floor, and I would pick the 12th floor, because they were thinking, this is working. And they wouldn't press the button. And the sojourner who came in was able to press the button, because, but how did they work that out? Because I was a visitor. We all should have been standing in the elevator going, oh. They had come up with a lot of rules. But here we see that it was for them. It was for these people. It was I as a man, or I if I'm a woman reading this, or if I had kids, if it's cattle, it was for the donkey, it was for the visitors. Everybody was supposed to not work on the Sabbath. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. So here is starting to tell us, it's for you people who remember that this day ties back to creation. It ties back to the fact that God set up a pattern of this, that God himself had a pattern of working. God himself worked in 6 days, making the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. And then on the seventh day, the Lord God rested. He set the day apart. It's his rest. So you people who are my people, he's saying, you set the day apart. But as I ask the question now, so who's this command for? I ask the question now, is this therefore for all of creation? Is everybody in the world supposed to stop on the Sabbath day and rest? Is the seven-day cycle built into all of humanity history so that all of humans know that on the seventh day they're to rest? No. In fact, the Roman calendar didn't have 7 days. And the Chinese calendar also had different amount of cycle of days. Cultures around the world were counting days differently. In fact, seven's a weird number. Wouldn't it have been so much easier to have a week divided by not seven, but 10? That would be so much easier, right? 10 days of a week. This command is for these people who knew about what God had said about the fact that he created in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. So it's for not the whole world. And in fact, if we go back, turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2 to see the origin story. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. Actually, we'll start in chapter 1, verse 31. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their hosts. By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So we see here that God decides to put down, I worked, I worked, I worked, and then I stopped, I rested. But what don't we see? We don't see, therefore, you, all of creation, must also rest on the seventh day. We don't see that. We see that God rested, and he decides to put down in the text, I worked, I worked, I worked, and then I had the rest, and this is my rest. Did God have to rest? Honestly, did God even have to work 6 days? If you've watched, and not many of you, maybe only the youngins, if you watched Infinity War and Endgame, you would know that Thanos was able to destroy his enemies with the snap of a finger. For all of you older folk, you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. But the fact is that this character had this power to be able to snap his finger and kill half of everybody. God is God. Do you think God could have virtually snapped his finger and created everything in a second? Sure. Right? Why take 6 days? Why create a cycle? And why rest? Did God get pooped? The infinite creator of all things, who has no physical properties, got to the point of doing this creative work, which he only created by using words, let there be light, and there was light, really got to the point number seven and went, oh, that was exhausting. I need a nap. Really? Not at all. Not at all. He set up a pattern for a reason. There was a pattern being set up there. And this reason was put down here so that the Israelites then start going, oh, there's a reason that we are also doing this. But is this the only reason they had to keep the Sabbath? No, no, no. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Look what it says. This we're still looking at who this command is for. Verse 15. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt.
And the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. In this passage, he doesn't mention creation at all. He mentions instead their redemption, their salvation from Egypt. He reminds them, you Israelites were slaves in Egypt, and you were put under hard labor. And as you were put there under hard labor, you were rescued out of that hard labor. You were rescued unto me, the Lord. And when I brought you out by a mighty hand and by my power, not yours, then I commanded you to keep the Sabbath. Why did I command you to keep the Sabbath? To remember this, that I rescued you from your slavery. So this, who is this command for? It's for these people who were rescued out of Egypt. So it's not for all of creation. It's for the people who were rescued out of Egypt, the people who were rescued by God. And not only that, not only that. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31, to see who is this command for. Exodus chapter 31, and look at verse 12. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, but as for you, speak to the sons of Israel. That's interesting, right? It's not for the sons of the Gentiles, it's for the sons of Israel, saying, you shall surely observe my Sabbaths. Why? For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Therefore, you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among the people. For 6 days you may work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath, to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from his labor and was refreshed. So what was the Sabbath for? For those people who had entered into a covenant with the Lord. And the Lord gave them a sign. You remember what a covenant was, right? Remember what a covenant was? It was a package of promises that started a relationship. A package of promises that started a relationship. So it's not like a contract that you have with a bank. When the contract you have with a bank, it starts a type of relationship, but either one of you can break that contract. For example, you can the bank can say, we pay for this house, and you live in it, and you pay us. And you can decide to break the contract, and the only difference in the relationship that you have with the bank is that you no longer pay the bank. And then your credit rating gets hit. And the bank can also decide to change hands with the contract. This happens all the time when you're a homeowner. You find that the bank that you entered the deal with isn't the bank that you closed the deal with, because they sell mortgages all the time to other banks. So it's not like a contract that you enter with a bank. A covenant is a package of promises that changes a relationship. So when a man and a woman get married, they have a package of promises with one another. I to have and to hold through sickness and health and till death do us part. You see those promises? When you're sick and when you're healthy, I'll hold you, I'll keep you. Till death do his part. A package of promises, and now here's the new relationship. You are now my husband. You are now my wife. It's a covenant. And in the Bible, we see that God often uses a sign of the covenant. He takes a picture to remind people that we are in this relationship. So in the covenant that he makes with Noah and all creation. So you remember after the flood, there's the flood. The flood destroys all of living things. And God says, I'm going to enter into covenant with you, into a relationship with you. I will no longer destroy the world with water. And you are a people who are going to live on. And you are supposed to be respectful of life. And this is this relationship we have. And I'm going to give you a sign of my covenant. I'll put my bow in the clouds. You remember that? The rainbow? The original meaning of the rainbow was that God says, no longer hostilities. I'm putting my bow down. That was one sign. And then the covenant that he enters into with Abraham. You remember that covenant with Abraham? Abraham, you're going to be the father of, like, your generations are going to be like the stars in the sky, like the sands at the seashore. That's how many kids you're going to have. That's going to be the relationship. But you know what? You're set apart, Abraham. You're now a Hebrew. You're my group of people. You're my people. And I'll give you a sign. And it was a circumcision. So it wasn't a sign for people, everybody to look at. It was a sign for those Israelites to know. I am born as a son of Abraham. So they were circumcised. And now this covenant, he says, the sign of this covenant that Moses and you people entered into with me on Sinai, the sign is not circumcision, it's the Sabbath. And in fact, this sign is so important to God, to these people in this relationship, that he says that if you break this sign, someone dies. And in fact, we would read, I'm not going to give it to you, go there, but in Leviticus, I think it's 19 or 16, probably 19, he says that, you know what, if you do wrong with this sign, not only will you get punished, the land itself will get punished. If you break the law and you start to, ignoring the law, worshiping other gods, the land is going to be punished, and you know what, the land is going to get the rest that you refuse to give it all the times that you were sinning against me. And then we actually find out by the time of Ezekiel that the land, and the time of Jeremiah, the land is getting the Sabbaths that the Israelites wouldn't give it. So this command is specifically for the Israelites who entered into a covenant with God, who entered into this relationship with God. And this sign was to be something that was to be done perpetually to show you work and you set apart. But what is the sign? What is this sign doing? What is this command doing? Well, like, think about it. Think about the whole world, right? This whole world, everybody in the world did not get this command. They weren't given the command to take a break. And when you allow humans, we are both the laziest and the busiest of all creatures on this planet. The laziest is that we're always trying to find a way to not do the things that we're supposed to be doing. And the busiest being that if we see that there's something in it for us, we keep going at it or getting somebody else to work at it. So this command wasn't given to everybody. Think about a factory. Think about a factory that was built in an area that has no influence of Judeo-Christian ethics, no influence by the Jews, no influence by Christianity. That factory is going to try to maximize their hours of production day in and day out. The only reason they'll implement a rest is if they start noticing, oh, we're losing productivity. We need to put in some breaks, because people aren't producing up to speed. They need to take a break. So the whole world wasn't given this command, hey, take a break. The whole world is just given the cycle of work. Work and work and work And you take a break if you're pooped, but you know what? It's work, it's work, it's work. What this command is doing is telling Israelites, by entering into this relationship with me, you're not getting that same pattern that it's all on you. You enter into a rest with me. You get to get a break. You get to get that moment that you actually find yourself free. Free to actually just be, to think about that God is over everything. Do you get this moment to actually just breathe and relax and enjoy the labor of your hands by not doing it? And you're doing that with me, the Lord is saying. I've entered into this rest, and you're entering into this rest with me. That's fantastic news. Fantastic news. Of course, by Jesus' day, though, the command, the principle behind the command was ignored. It was ignored. And they got to the point where this command started becoming a burden. This command started becoming a burden. So you would have things like, you're breaking the Sabbath if you're lifting a bedroll over your waist. What? They got to the point where they got to where they were thinking, if you have to go further than you would for your job on a walk, you're breaking the Sabbath. They got to the point that, remember Jesus, here he was, his disciples were walking through a field on the Sabbath, and they're not hungry, they're just feeling a little like they want to nibble a little something, and they take some berries and grapes that they're eating along the way. They got to the point, the Israelites had gotten to the point, that they didn't see this as something, hey, this isn't working. They started judging everybody by the amount of adherence to the Sabbath. Are you really resting? They would look and they would say, hey, why aren't you stopping your disciples from working on the Sabbath? And Jesus could have easily said, they're not working. Their 9 to 5 is fishermen. Their 9 to 5, their regular day isn't picking grapes in a field. But this is where they got to the point that they ignored the principle behind it and they started making it a burden. They started making it just like the world, that the Sabbath itself became something that you can die from. So this is what the Sabbath was supposed to be doing, that it was only supposed to find rest in God's provision, but people twisted it, and they made it that it was no longer something that you find rest in. Now it got to the point that a man could find himself miraculously healed after not being able to walk, walking home with his bedroll, happy that he can walk, and being told, hey, why are you working on the Sabbath? That's what people did. So what do we start to get from this when we start seeing this command and start seeing the principle behind it and what it's doing for the Lord's people when they're told to come in and enjoy this rest with him? We start to see and start to truly understand that the principle is that you can only find true rest, not in man's work, but in God himself. In God himself. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 1. Therefore let us fear, if while a promise remains of entering his, God's rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter his rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day, today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as he said before, today if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them his rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered God's rest has himself also rested from his own works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. What is this telling us? The principle of the Sabbath. Stop trying to hold on to your own work. Stop trying to hold on to the common and trying to do it your own way, because the fact is, to enter the Lord's rest, you've got to trust that he did the job and that he calls you to enter the rest with him. Now, when we start elevating this out of the commandments, we start to understand that the job that God did, you know, there was another job that God did when he rested from all his creation works. He created, and then he rested. What we see in Genesis, that when God started work again, was when he went to provide for people who had done wrong. He went to provide for people who had done wrong. And we see that in Genesis, in chapter 3, that Adam and Eve did wrong, and they tried to cover themselves. They tried to use their own work to cover themselves. It wasn't enough. And we find that then God is working again. He made for them coverings out of skin of animals. God decided to work again when you see that man couldn't do it himself. So God himself, when seeing that all of humanity was falling in our sins and there's no way for us to work our salvation out, it's not possible, God sent his son to do the work that we couldn't possibly do. He took the punishment that we deserved, that whosoever believes on him wouldn't die but have eternal life. He did the work, and then by trusting him, we enter into that eternal rest. We enter into that eternal rest. This is good news, great news, because now what that does for us who entered into God's rest, it lights up all the days of the week. Every day winds up being God's day. Every work winds up being an opportunity to give God the glory. Everything you do winds up being an act of worship unto the Lord. Could you imagine it? That now, could you forgive me for the crassness, but now if you scrub the toilet on a Tuesday and you do it unto the Lord, it's an act of service and worship. That's mind-blowing. Because of what he did, because we've entered into that rest. No longer are you scrubbing the toilet because this is drudgery, I've got to do it. Now it's about, I do this as unto him. Every work lights up as unto him. This is the fourth commandment. A few notes, though, for this commandment, because I'm sure you're wondering, Ray, are Christians supposed to keep the Sabbath? Ray, is Sunday the new Sabbath? I didn't answer any of those questions. But I think that you could see that as we were going along, the Sabbath, it seems to be clear, this was for the Israelites, the seventh day. So, I mean, next week, because like I said, I didn't answer any of those questions, nor am I planning to answer those questions today. Next week, I'm going to leave it up to you to tell me, before you leave, tell me, because I'm either going to preach on the next commandment, the fifth commandment, children, honor thy father and thy mother, or we go into the Lord's Day. What is the Lord's Day? Is it the Sabbath, the new Sabbath? I'm giving it up to you because it's New Year. We are working through the law this year. And since you got a double header with me, you can decide that. But as for now, I'm putting that into your hand. Talk to me after it. As for now, this covers it for the Sabbath. And we come to the understanding that we have to enter the Lord's rest. We have to enter his rest. And it's only by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's close in prayer. Blessed God, we thank you that we see in this scripture we see the wonder and the glory that you have done the work. You did the work that we couldn't possibly do. We couldn't possibly do. You did that fantastic work so that we who were far off could be brought near. You did that work so that we could be seated in heavenly places. That work on Calvary by your Son taking the punishment that we deserved. And rising again on the third day victorious, that whosoever believes on him would not perish. We thank you that you've made this entering. This isn't something that we had to reach up into the highest mountains or down into the lowest valleys to get. But you came near to us to rescue us. And now we enter in. I pray that you motivate our hearts to look around to see if there's any who are struggling, any who have not yet entered into that rest, and that you move us to help one another out to understand the great riches of mercy and grace that we have in you. As we go home this week, remind us in this new year of this sweet rest that we have in you that lights up every day to be your day, because we're eternally in your rest. We pray this in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.